No. Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go. They were fifth graders my first year here as middle school pastor. They are an incredible bunch, and I was so pleased to have so many of them in Quest. If I could just real quickly, we honored the eighth graders during first service, but I just was remiss in forgetting to honor specifically one person, and that is my wife, Heather, for all the work that she does. Just in life, in general. And she tells me where I'm supposed to be and when I'm supposed to be there, and she's really awesome like that. All right, we're going to start off today here in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, where Jesus says these words. It says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse, because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." This last Thursday, actually a couple Thursdays ago, May 26th, was the final day of the school year for me. I am an elementary school teacher at Winchester Elementary School. I teach fourth grade. And it was actually, if you can believe this, the end of my 24th year as a school teacher, which is staggering because I'm only 27. I started when I was 3. But the truth is, I've been teaching even longer than that. When I was in college, I used to work at camps all the time and teach theater and other things. I coached baseball. I've coached softball. When I was a senior in high school, I was coaching Little League Baseball, and I was also helping out when I wasn't going to school. I was an aide in third period algebra, helping kids out. My parents are both teachers, so I guess teaching is just in my blood. And throughout all my years of teaching, there's one thing that is constant and just comes after year after year after year, is that you need to have a firm foundation. Everything else depends upon having those foundational skills, those fundamentals that without you cannot be successful at the next level. In fact, the great basketball coach from UCLA, John Wooden, said this, "I discovered early on that the player who learned the fundamentals of basketball is going to have a much better chance of succeeding and rising through the levels of competition than the player who was content to do things his own way." It's so true. Fundamentals, foundational skills, whether they be in sport or in life, prepare us for the challenges ahead, whatever they might be. I always tell the girls on my softball team, you need to anticipate the ball coming to you. You need to be ready for it. If you're not ready, well, bad things are going to happen. See, being successful in sports, education, or life requires a good foundation. Without one, things will eventually fall apart. Now, most of my time teaching in the classroom was spent in either first grade or second grade. I even did one very, 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 extremely, very long year in kindergarten. Those people are amazing. But during my time in those grades, that's what you taught: the foundational skills, the fundamentals of education. And the exact numbers elude me right now, but the basic premise is this. If a student doesn't learn what they're supposed to learn in kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, they will never catch up. Or the chances of them ever catching up are slim and none. It's because without foundational skills, without the fundamental, without something to build everything else upon, your education fails. There's a book entitled, "All I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten." And truly, that statement isn't very far from the truth. It always comes back to those basics, to those foundations, to those fundamental truths that none of us can escape. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your glove on the ground. 2 + 2 = 4. Please, oh please, end your sentence with a period and start it with a capital. It always comes back to that. You kids are going off to college. You better know 2 + 2 = 4 and end a sentence with a period, or else, well, I pray for you. And this is what we find Jesus really doing here. He's saying to the people who are listening, there is a way to live this thing we call life. There is a way to react to the circumstances of life. I have created you to live a certain way. There is a foundation upon which everything else in your life must be built upon, or else at some point your choices will not be able to hold up against the uncertainty of life. Truly, once again, Jesus is saying, trust me. Follow me. Trust in who I am. Trust in what I know. Jesus says you either need to trust me or you're not. Those are really the only two roads that people can go down. There's only two choices. And truly, the teacher-student relationship is like that. When I'm in class, if a student is going to be successful, they need to trust me. They need to know that I care about them. They need to be able to look at me and say, Mr. Weibel cares about me. Mr. Weibel truly wants me to go somewhere. He wants me to know what I need to know so I can be successful in this thing called school. And I trust that he actually knows how to get me there. And I got to trust that what he says is true and right. And if I follow it, I will be successful. And I will tell you right now, in 24 years of education, one thing holds true. Every student, every single one, 100% guaranteed, when that student trusts me, follows my direction, and believes that I will give them the information that they need to be successful, they are successful. Doesn't matter how smart they are, doesn't matter what family they have, doesn't matter their socioeconomic income, when they trust me and they listen to me, they are successful. On the flip side of that, students that do not trust me, that do not follow what I ask them to do, that do not believe that what I'm saying is actually the right way to do things, they fail. 100% guaranteed. Doesn't matter anything else. It's all about trust. And it's that way with Jesus. It's that way with God. It's why time and time again in my preaching, it seems like this verse shows up every single time I preach a sermon anywhere. It's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, because it will fail you. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. See, friends, you are either building your life upon the truth of who God is, or you are building your life upon something else. You are either building your identity upon the love of Jesus, or you are building it on something else. And the people that were listening to Jesus speak these words would have been very aware of what he was talking about. See, the sand that surrounded the Sea of Galilee, which is where this sermon took place or quite near it, had this sand that during the summer months, because it was hot, because it was dry, it would be hard packed and it would look really firm. Like, let's build something on that. That's a great idea. It looks like cement. But as soon as the weather came, as soon as the sea and the river began to overflow, what once looked firm suddenly would give way. And anything built upon it would quickly be washed away by the floods. The smart builder would not be fooled by that. They would still dig down deep to the bedrock. And then that house would not disappear. See, the people hearing Jesus say these words about building their life upon a firm foundation would have known exactly what he was talking about. See, too many times in life, people think they can build their house upon something else other than Jesus. And too often, this is what happens. At one point, it was probably a beautiful house with a beautiful view. What a beautiful house around the beach. We just walk to the beach, get the boogie board, and go down. Get to watch the sunrise or the sunset, depending on what shore that is. And everything was beautiful and wonderful. And it seemed like it would be that way forever. But eventually, the waves came, the storms came, the wind came, the rain came, and the house got washed away. It couldn't stand up against the trials because it wasn't built to do so. It was built upon something other than bedrock. You know, one of the most difficult parts of being a teacher or a pastor is you teach all this stuff, and you know everything you're saying is true, and you know everything you're saying is right. Because you're 46 years old, you're almost 47, and you've seen it, and you've lived it, and you've experienced it. And you've seen what happens when people build their house upon a firm foundation, and you've seen what happens when people don't. And the students either need to, and I've said this time and time again in my time in Quest, I'm like, guys, you have a choice. You can actually believe that what I'm saying is true and real and right and based upon some really good life experience, or you can go, ah, that old guy with the gray in his beard, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I do know what I'm talking about, because what I'm talking about always comes from the one who created everything, and he does know what he's talking about. And then you sit back and you watch, and you watch some students live and put those things into effect. And it doesn't mean that hard times won't come, because Jesus says hard times will come. But you watch them and you see them stand up. But others, you see them walk away. And you see the pain and you see the hurt and you see the choices that leave scars for years and years and years. I don't want students, I don't want students that I come and experience with that have lives that crumble like that house. I want students' lives to look more like this picture right here. That though the storms come, the rain comes, the floodwaters come, the really mighty waves come, that life stands firm.
And speaking of lighthouses, Jesus was probably aware of these beacons of hope and direction. The earliest lighthouse that we know of came 300 or so years before Christ in the region of Egypt. And a few chapters before Jesus is closing here, the Sermon on the Mount, talking about listening to his word, doing his word, which is like building a house on solid rock, he actually begins talking about light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, he says this, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Graduating seniors, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. As Aaron said, we want you to be a lighthouse. We want you to be a beacon of hope and direction and guidance for those around you. But here's the reality. I know this to be true. Aaron knows this to be true. As much as we want you to stand tall and firm, unwavered like a lighthouse, giving hope to those lost out at sea, torrential rains and crashing waves, storms, those are a lot harder to weather than we think they might be. You know, and knowing you guys, I know many of you in this past year have been put through the ringer. And in light of the difficult things, the inevitably hard and harsh things, we know that you're not always going to shine like a lighthouse. Sometimes your lights will go out. Sometimes you'll crumble. And if you start asking yourselves in that place whether or not God is who he is, or if anything can be repaired, I would urge you to remember this very moment right here. Remember this moment right now, because surrounding you, in this room here, as we've just recently celebrated your graduation and you moving on beyond high school, there's a room full of individuals who've crumbled at different points, whose lights have gone out at different points, who in different seasons have chosen otherwise, and yet they're here. And so my encouragement to you this morning is to remember, despite what you may be feeling or thinking in one moment or one season, and it's actually not up to you. It's not about how strong your light shines or how firm you are, because ultimately, as Aaron points out, There's a rock that it's built on, and that rock is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this. Again, he was speaking to them, and he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of what? The light of life." Those words that Jesus says there, "I am," in the original language, the Greek, the manuscripts there read "ego and me." They hearken back to the Old Testament where God reveals his divine name, "I am." I am who I say I am. I am more than you can comprehend, more than you can see. I am transcendent, and yet I am near. I am fully beyond, and yet I am close. I am. And so when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," you know what he is saying there? He is saying that I'm God in the flesh. That there's divinity here, that I'm not just a regular person. What he's saying there is, trust me. Trust me. The other day, I was driving down to a wedding in San Diego, and there was a bushel fire yesterday, right? Did we see that, some of you? Temecula students thought like the world was ending or something. It's like, don't worry, Cal Fire's got it. It's okay. We got a lot of firefighters here. It was all taken care of, but the traffic was terrible. And so as I'm driving down to this wedding, wondering if I'm going to make it in time, and the bride's going to be all sad because their music's not going to happen. I'm like, all right, God, it'll be okay. But I started thinking about this morning's message and where Aaron was going and possibly what we would share together. And all this talk about firm foundation and lightness and darkness, it really only got me thinking about one thing. Star Wars. I'm not a Star Wars fanatic. In fact, this wonderful man to my left, I can attribute to the fact that Star Wars has invaded my household. Because several months ago, when my older son Thaddeus was turning 3, Air did a beautiful thing. Instead of giving Thaddeus superheroes, which you've seen before, he decided to give him his first Star Wars action figures, which Thaddeus loved. They were so different, right? He'd never seen these things before. But Aaron, I have to tell you, and I told you first service, but I'm still holding against you. Why is it that Thaddeus is compelled to fall in love with the dark side? I don't understand. And so I'm thinking about that yesterday, about light and dark. I'm going, why does Thaddeus love the dark side so much? And then it hit me. It's because they look so much cooler, right? All their gear's like fresh and shiny. Their guns and their weapons, their robots, they're all sparkling clean. And then the light side, the good side, the rebels, they're like wearing tunics and their guns barely work and their robots are all dusty. And so no wonder Saturn is compelled by the dark side. Aren't we compelled by that too? What is it? What is it about the allure of the other, of the thing that seems removed and yet so close, within reach, that dark side, that part that we realize actually exists inside each and every single one of us, that part that we want to satisfy? What is it about that pulls at us? You know, I'm really glad that Jesus didn't say, "I'm the darkness of the world." I'm really glad he didn't say, "I am the evil of the world." He said, "I am the light of the world." And here's the reality, seniors and all of us, we know this to be true. I know a lot of you are scared of the dark, okay? Sad and scared of the dark. He likes the dark side. He likes Darth Vader, but Dark Vader, he calls him. But he's scared of the dark. And I know a lot of you are scared of the dark too. I've been there, taking out the trash at nighttime when you're running because it's dark. Actually, that's not me. I'm scared of the dark. But the longer we stay in the dark, our eyes actually adjust. We don't need that much direction. In fact, we can survive for some amount of time pretty well in the dark. But friends, we weren't made to live in the dark. And yet for some reason, we as Christians think, well, I'm going to do life apart from the direction that God has given me. I'm going to walk in this darkness because really life doesn't look so dark. It looks satisfying. It looks great. It's appealing. We don't see people walking around like they're crumbled houses. In fact, we see people that are pretending and seem to have everything put together. But deep down inside, the reality is life apart from Christ, apart from his light that pierces and penetrates through the darkness and illuminates the path to him because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Life apart and outside of that spectrum, that light is walking in the darkness. And we can adjust to that and think that we're okay and that we're fine. But once you've seen and been in the light, friends, at some point, you're going to want to make it back. So graduating seniors, my word to you is this. As much as we want you to shine your light into this world, Jesus is the light. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so if at any point as you leave this place and go off into this world, you start wondering, what's God's purpose for me? What's his plan for me? What's his will for me? Remember and realize his purpose, his plan, his will for you is to walk in the light towards him. It's to become more like Christ. You're either going to be becoming more like him as you fix your eyes on him and orient your life towards him and walk to him, or you're going to become the version of yourself that is apart from him. So regardless of what university or college you go into, whatever branch of the military you may or may not serve in, whatever career you get into or don't get into, whether or not you get married or not, your kids, it doesn't matter. In any and all of those things, you must ask yourself, am I becoming more like Christ? Am I becoming like the version of myself without him? Am I going to walk in his light, or am I going to walk off somewhere to the side? And just one more thing. I'm sure many of us can testify to this to be the truth. It's actually pretty hard to walk in the light because you start seeing real obstacles. You start seeing real challenges, and you can't just run around them. You actually have to get through them. But Jesus says, hear my words. Do that. Trust me. John chapter 1, verse 5 says this. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Graduating seniors, I'm going to miss you guys a lot. But as I've told you over and over and over again, this relationship that we have, it doesn't exist apart from Christ, because there's no reason for someone my age to be hanging out with high school students. And so every conversation that we've had, every game of football that we've played, every time that we sat down over coffee, every time you visited me in the office with tears, every time you've told me about your dreams and asked me for prayer, every graduation, well, thankfully, just the one, all of these things, they solely exist because of Christ. So would you trust him and orient your life towards him? And maybe one day look back on the season and say, here together, we remembered that it's not up to us. He's the light, and we're walking towards him.
It is true that I love Star Wars. And in the latest Star Wars film, there's a scene that I thought of as I was preparing for this Sunday. It's a scene where there's a young girl named Rey, a young man named Finn, and they encounter this much older man named Han Solo. And they begin to realize that they've heard this name Han Solo, and that perhaps he knows this guy named Luke Skywalker, although Luke Skywalker seems more myth than man. And Rey says, "What do you think about all this?" And then Han gives this speech about where he once was and his belief of all these things that have occurred and what he believes to be true now. Let's watch that.
The Jedi were real.
I used to wonder about that myself. Thought it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo. A magical power holding together good and evil, the dark side and the light.
Kid, I've flown from one side of this galaxy to the other. I've seen a lot of strange stuff, but I've never seen anything to make me believe there's one all-powerful force controlling everything. There's no mystical energy field that controls my destiny.
Crazy thing is, it's true. All of it. The Force, the Jedi, it's all true.
It's like, once I believed like you guys, thought it was mumbo jumbo. Too weird, too strange, too bizarre to believe. I had my own path. I had my own things to do. Then he turns and looks right at them and says, but here's the deal. I know it seems weird. I know it seems strange. I know it seems so unbelievable that there's this thing called the Force, and there's these Jedi who do this stuff, and it seems beyond comprehension. But he says it's true. All of it. I know sometimes we come up against things in life or we just get tired of being a certain way and we decide that this thing called Christianity and this guy named Jesus and this God, mumbo jumbo, an all-powerful force that can control everything. But here's the deal. Here's the crazy thing. It's true. All of it. That once there was nothing except God. And that God, who is all powerful and all knowing and all wise and all everywhere all the time, he decided he wanted to make a universe. And he had one. And the Bible says that he sustains it. He holds it together. That he exists inside of it and outside of it. That there's no place in this entire universe here on Earth or 35 billion light years away where God is not fully God, fully present, fully himself. That God knows everything and everyone that exists. That nothing going on anywhere in time and space is beyond God's reach, is beyond God's comprehension. And that God, who knows us. In fact, the Bible says he knew us before he made anything. Really dwell upon that. Really think about that. Really consider that. The creator of the universe, who created a universe just like that, knew exactly who you were and everything you would ever do before he decided to make anything. And consider this, that same God who knew everything about you made himself very small for you and I. The creator God of the universe, who is all everything, who defies description, made himself and humbled himself as a small baby in a manger. Because he needed to? No. Because he was bored? No. Because he loves you. Because he wanted to. And not only that, that would be amazing enough. That the creator of the universe would make himself so small just because he loves me. But he went a step further. He gave his life in the most horrific, agonizing, terrible way ever imagined by anyone. Death on a cross. Because he needed to? No. Because he was bored? No. Because he loves you. Because he wanted to have a relationship with you. Because he wanted you to experience his love. Because he knew that was what was best for you. That nothing would ever satisfy you the way that he could, the way that his love could, the way that his direction in life could. It's true. All of it. I know it seems crazy. I know it seems amazing. I know it seems beyond description. I know sometimes we come against circumstances in life and go, this doesn't make any sense. Lean not on your own understanding, but know he is truly who he says he is. And his love for you cannot be measured. It's the greatest story ever. And what makes it great and crazy is it's true. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for you. Words seem, there's just not enough. Because you are you. Be still and know that you are God, were the words. Help us to do that. Help us not to look at our current circumstances or what's currently going on around us and be convinced by the lie that you are not real and that your love is not real, but be reminded of the truth that despite our circumstances, despite our doubt, despite our mistakes, you are bigger than all of those. And because of your love and your sacrifice on the cross, there is nothing that can ever separate us from your love. And it is a love that lights everything before us. Help us to go after you. Help us to think about you. But most of all, God, help us to believe. Help us to trust. Help us to know that you are the only thing that is true and right. And you love us. And we know it because you died on a cross. Thank you, God, for everything you do. But most of all, thank you for Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.